Welcome, everybody, to this week's edition of Pro Football Weekly and Basketball News. I am the publisher and editor, Hub Arkish, along with senior editor Mike Wilkening, and our co-host every week, Jim Clemens of the L.A. Lakers, joins us. We are going to be talking all kinds of basketball, and, of course, how can we start with anything but the NCAA tournament this week? And we have a special guest joining us. John Gassaway of BasketballPerspectives.com has been good enough to check in. And, of course, since we do tape late each week to syndicate around the country, it's a little difficult to talk about games that are going on now. But we wanted to touch base with John first about some of the, you know, put a cap on some of the things heading into the tournament. And you know, John, I think we're past the bubble stuff. Who got in? Who isn't at this point? They're in the NIT. They're doing fine if they didn't get in. But looking at the 65 or 64 ball clubs in this tournament, who do you think maybe got seeded a little higher than they should have? And is there anybody who really got dropped down a few more spots than they should have?
I look at a team like Oklahoma, for example, in that absolutely brutal East region. They are a sixth seed. They did not score as many points during the Big 12 season as their opponents did. And major conference teams with that history the past couple years just have a dismal, dismal track record, even when they get seeded a little higher than they should. So that was a surprise to me how high they were seeded. By the same token, although this would be kind of different as it's perceived nationally, Vanderbilt, who is ranked all year, another team that didn't do quite as well during the SEC season as a lot of people might think in terms of how they did possession by possession, and they got a four seed. That's a nice seed for them. They might be able to parlay that into something, although they run against a good Clemson team in the second round, likely, if they survive that. So those were a couple that were seeded pretty high, and then as far as seeded pretty low, I think I and everybody else was surprised with what was dealt to Tennessee, not so much that they got a two seed, which I think is fine because I'm in agreement with all of the one seeds, but they were put into that East region, and that is just murderer's row. You know, Tennessee had a pretty good year, and they or North Carolina or anybody will really be doing something to stagger out of that regional. So those were some of the seeding surprises that I saw.
John, if there is a hot-button topic this year with the brackets, and to me it seems like there are fewer this year, there's less maybe consternation and anger sort of about what the committee did, unless you're less in the case of Virginia Tech, where there's a lot of anger on their side of things. But, you know, maybe the cause that everybody sort of is getting behind is why these so-called sort of mid-major sort of powers have to play each other in round one. You know, Butler, South Alabama in the East was one of the games that jumps out. Gonzaga, Davidson is probably the headliner of the bunch.
And I would add Kent State, UNLV to that list as well, although UNLV is kind of a hybrid mid-major. But that was striking, and I know what the committee would say, and I believe them. They would say that, you know, we just look at these teams as teams. They're listed alphabetically on our board. We don't look at conferences, et cetera, and they've got a real organizing challenge when you're talking about seeding all the teams, keeping teams from the same conference apart until further down in the brackets, all that good stuff. So I believe them when they say that. However, that was very unfortunate that that played out that way with matchups like the ones you're talking about. You know, Davidson, Gonzaga, great example. You know, you could even add Drake and Western Kentucky to that list. It would be a lot more fun to see a team like Drake against a middling power conference team. Villanova, for example, is also a 12 seed like Western Kentucky. That would be a much more interesting game from my chair.
We're visiting with John Gassaway of BasketballPerspectives.com, and we unfortunately are just about out of time, but I want to ask you quickly, and Jim, let me ask you first, and then we'll get John's opinion. Bob Knight advanced something kind of fascinating. I think Knight's been very interesting in his role as a consultant, as he calls it, with ESPN. He talked about, why don't we just put 128 teams in this tournament? It's one more game, one more day, and then we're done with all the bubble talk and anybody who didn't deserve it, and particularly this focus on these automatic bids that probably aren't deserving in a number of cases. Jim, you have any thought or reaction to that?
Well, I always thought that you should just make it like a high school tournament and just open it up for everybody. I mean, it seems like you can't satisfy either group when you go either way. And when I was in college, it was 32, and if you didn't win your conference championship, you went home. You know, the NIT was the only alternative. In the Big Ten those days, they didn't allow the second place team to go anywhere. So you're caught between a rock and a hard place. But John, I can't really believe that the pickers say that they don't take conferences in. I mean, you know, that's one reason that the mid-level guys, quote unquote, have to schedule big-time schools so they can show that they can compete with them.
Yeah, absolutely, and they have to get that RPI up. I don't know if you guys caught the selection, the interview after the selection of the chair, but in almost one breath, he said they don't use RPI, and then he dinged, I think it was Arizona State, for their low non-conference strength of schedule. So,
geez, John, he could run for president. All right, John, thank you very much for taking time out to join us. That's John Gassaway of BasketballPerspectives.com. We take a quick commercial break here. Back with more basketball news and Pro Football Weekly right after this.